Some of you might know this, but I'm not the best driver in the world. I don't have much spatial awareness and I get really sleepy, especially when I'm driving up on the freeway, which I know is really dangerous. But I like driving because it's fast and efficient. And I like to be fast and efficient. I get frustrated when stuck in traffic. I hate running late. And driving helps me get from one thing to the next. I value speed. And by the looks of it, when I'm out on the road, it seems like other people do too. There's plenty of people going much faster than the speed limit, and we're all in a rush to be somewhere else. And maybe that's why on the road you can sometimes see the worst in people. It's easy to become aggressive in your big car, honk your horn, yell abuse, mock the learners with their slow driving. It's easy to think you are more powerful than you are. Drive fast, talk on your phone, negotiate important business deals, apply your makeup, have some food. It's so easy to be distracted and overwhelmed, especially when there are other people in the car with you, you know, babies that won't settle or toddlers fighting. Or if you're stuck with someone and there's a little bit of tension with you, arguments simmering, and you're all stuck together on a long car journey, that can be hard. I used to drive a lot up the freeway from the coast down to Hornsby, and the F1 has some really terrible accidents a lot of the time on those roads. It can kind of freeze the traffic for hours. And I remember once driving by and seeing a car that had smashed into the rock wall near the Mount Cola exit. And whenever I drive by such accidents, I kind of thank God that that wasn't me. Aware that, you know, it could be me. I'm not always the best driver. But I went past it, and it was only a few hours later that I got a phone call from my younger sister. And I realized that I'd actually driven past her car. She had been the one that had crashed into the rock wall. She was okay, but it reminded me of how vulnerable we are. Life is short, and maybe that is why we love to speed. We want to try and do as much as possible before our time is done. We think if we can cram enough in, we can say we've had a good life, or at least a full life. But the Bible, and in particular the Psalms, warns us to be careful that in our rush we don't find ourselves missing the most important thing, missing the most important part of life, God. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. We were meant not to rush, but to walk in step with God. God is described in the beginning as walking in the cool of day, wanting to hang out with people, wanting to be friends. But I think we are unsettled by such intimacy, and so we back away from God. We hide. We put our foot down on the accelerator and speed as fast away as we can, leaving God with nothing but exhaust fumes in our wake. Instead of walking with God, we rush to one another. We share our fears. We share our mistrust, and it builds. We fall into step with the wicked, or literally, the psalm says, with the faithless. Instead of walking with God, we end up loitering with other sinners, honking our horns, breaking the speed limits, doing things our way. Instead of walking with God, we sit back and mock. It's easy to sit at the back, make snide comments, become cynical. It's easy to think that there is something better away from God until we crash into a rock wall. In fact, it's so easy, even for those we expect will always walk with God, even for people who say they are Christians, even our leaders, our pastors or priests or ministers, whatever you want to call it, they too can end up speeding away before skidding and crashing in spectacular, horrible, tragic ways, so visible that we see it in our media, hear stories of it, experience it, sometimes into wreck ways we find ourselves let down by those we looked up to as our role models. Our teachers, our pastors. You might be wondering where I'm going with all this. Doesn't sound like a good note to begin with as Josiah joins us. And I'm not in any way trying to imply that this is Josiah's future, but I am deeply conscious that we live in a world where it's so easy to leave God. And pastors, just like anyone else, can find themselves falling out of step, feeling the pull to speed up and cut corners. And then the crashes come. I mean, we can see the crashes all around us. Fraud, adultery, bullying, harassment, domestic violence, or as we have seen in sickening detail, sexual abuse of children. As a pastor, I grieve at the stories I hear of the small and big ways those in leadership can damage others. It is daunting to step into the role of leadership in the church. I remember just before I started here asking people to pray that I wouldn't kill this church. That was my fear. Religious leaders can have enormous influence. And today there are many Australians getting away as fast as they can from the church because of its leaders. They see the crashes and think there is nothing good to be found here. And I know of pastors who are also getting away, who've been hurt by their church, burnt out or abused until there's no other option but to leave. So how do we respond? How do you be a leader in this context? One of the good things about driving is that sometimes, I think most of us now have music in our cars, and as you speed along, you can turn up the music, and sometimes the right song will come on. Sometimes we might hear God's grace. There's a singer, Marie Morris, who actually sings about driving on the highway and finding God's grace. She says, "I've cussed on a Sunday, I've cheated and I've lied, I've fallen down from grace a few too many times. But I find holy redemption when I put this car in drive, roll the windows down and turn up the dial. I find my soul revival." I think we need more than ever to hear the songs of the Psalter that acknowledge reality, but also point to another way. Both pastors and people need Psalm 1 to be turned up high. We need a soul revival. This psalm acknowledges that we will want to run away from God, and it acknowledges the damage that can be done when we fall out of step with God. And yet even as we run, God is singing to us, calling us into relationship. Listen again. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of Yahweh, and who meditates on his law day and night." Before there were cars and road movies about people going on journeys to find themselves, there was walking. The Bible often pictures our lives and the choices we make as if we're embarking on a great walk. If you want to be a pastor, you need to be walking with God. More than that, if anyone wants to experience blessing, a full, good life, it's not about cramming everything in. It's about walking with God. There's been a little bit of revival when it comes to walking, with more people interested in taking pilgrimages to holy sites or walking out in the wilderness seeking God or building prayer labyrinths. There is this prayer labyrinth in Pymble created from tiny stones that form paths that duck this way and that. It's not efficient or quick and there's no real destination, so it seems counterintuitive for those of us who like to get things done. But you simply walk round and round and meditate on God. This is key. Now, meditation is very popular. It's also had a bit of a revival. At least lots of people talk about it. I'm not sure how many people are practicing it. But sometimes meditation will speak about, you know, being present, maybe emptying yourself out, but not this psalm. It says, "Walk with God by meditating on God's law." This doesn't tend to spark our imaginations. The law? You mean the first five books of the Bible? That's the part most people fall asleep in. And we know Jesus. We definitely don't need to meditate on the law. Jesus has set us free from the law. There it is again. This desire to speed away from God and God's ways. Now, I think the word law is perhaps unhelpful for us. In the Hebrew, it's literally Torah. So we could also translate it as teaching, and that might help us make sense of it better. Meditate on the teachings of God. In the ancient world, most people couldn't read, and so when the psalm says meditate, it actually meant in practice people would mutter or murmur God's words to themselves until those words became part of them. Fill yourself up not with the counsel of the faithless and the mockers, but chew them out for a little bit, and instead be shaped by God's words. Listen to the stories of the God who walked in the garden like a friend. Wrestle with the difficult words in Leviticus. Discuss these words with someone. Join in singing God's words with others. One of the jobs of the Psalter is to teach people through song how to pray to God. Now, the good news is we have the bonus of seeing God's complete teaching as Christians. We have the stories of Jesus to meditate on. We have the letters to the early church and the vision of how it all ends. The psalmist sees the good life in God's teachings. One of the things that stood out to the pastoral search team was when we asked Josiah about how he had reached out to share the good news of Jesus with others, which is a pretty big question. He said it has to begin with your own relationship with God. You need to be walking with God. You need to have experienced the grace of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God overflowing in you. And talking to others about Jesus, it just spills out. You talk about what you're interested in. And if it's a delight for you to know Jesus, then it'll be a delight to talk about Jesus. I want him to remember that because, you know, a year in as a lead pastor, I think this is true not just for pastors, but a lot of church roles. Like, leadership can often become a management role, forming processes and policies, programs and Sunday services, admin and maintenance rosters and pastoral emergencies. All those things are important and needed. But we can't forget what is most important. And this is what we need to encourage one another, and that includes encouraging our pastors. Don't cut corners. Don't forsake spending time in God's Word in order to do these other things. Don't speed past God's teachings, but find delight in them, always. That is how we'll stay walking with God and not crashing and burning. But instead, we'll then have the capacity to give to others. Verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. It's the beginning of Lent this week. As Baptists, we tend to be cut off from the seasons of the Christian calendar, but sometimes it can be nice to mark seasons. And especially if we've been walking with God for a long time, the idea is that slowly our roots sink deeper and deeper into the grace of God as we become like trees, stable, solid, fruitful, able to offer good to others. We want people not to speed away from the church because they see nothing good, but we want people to be drawn to our communities, drawn to our budding green leaves, the fruit hanging on the trees. We want people to experience life and love in our churches. But if Christians are too busy speeding along with other things in life and we don't notice the seasons change and our roots aren't planted by streams of water, we will wither. We will have nothing to offer. Lent gives us the chance to slow down. One of the practices central to Lent is fasting. That scares me a little bit, but I'm trying to attempt it a little bit this year, as I realized that fasting is another ancient spiritual practice that helps us pray, that helps our roots find streams of water. Richard Foster says, "The central ideal in fasting is the voluntary denial of an otherwise normal function for the sake of intense spiritual activity. There's nothing wrong with these normal functions in life. It is simply that there are times when we set them aside in order to concentrate." When Carolyn Altman came and shared with us a few weeks ago at the prayer workshop, I was really challenged with the stories she shared about just how powerful Lent can be when we give up something we love and spend time in prayer. She shared how she gave up Facebook, chips, chocolate, lollies, cake, dessert, and alcohol, and half an hour of sleep. And as she spent time in prayer, she saw a miracle in her family. She shared how her daughter had drifted away from God and was, I guess like lots of us, busy finishing her degree off and working as a part-time bartender. But during the 40 days that Carolyn fasted and prayed for her daughter started going to home group, reconnecting. And then they all started praying for her for a job where she could have Sunday nights free, and a job opened up. The perfect job for her, a job in the industry she was studying for, a job that was close to home. And so she started reconnecting back into the church community and back to God. Lent can be a time of spiritual breakthrough. So if you feel like you've been speeding, by choice or by accident, away from God, Now's the chance to stop and get back in step with God. Verse 5. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For Yahweh watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. As I said, I'm not the greatest driver in the world, particularly when I first got my license. I'm not sure if I'd really meditated on the road rules. I think I just learned enough to be able to pass the test and then forgot the road rules. And so I went driving one night in my dad's car, and I wanted to turn right, and I failed to check for any cars before making a right turn, and a car hit me and we crashed. And the next thing I knew, my body was shaking and there was emergency crews all around me. And I felt pretty stupid as I gave the police officer my statement, and he's like, well, do you know you're supposed to give way? And I'm like, yes, I do know that. There were consequences. I had to pay for the other person's car damage and I had to pay for my dad's car. That's fair. That's justice. Well, likewise, there are consequences when people fall out of step with God. Yahweh watches over and is concerned about what is right. This is what we need to be saying as a church in light of failed leaders. There shouldn't be cover-ups, but instead justice needs to happen. Leaders need to be accountable, and when we fail, if we wander away from God, then there needs to be action taken. It's one of the reasons why we have elders in our church. One of their jobs is to check in with the pastors and ask, how are you going walking with God? Check in early so we avoid a nasty accident on the road. The psalm warns us not to forsake God. Speeding away from God ultimately ends in destruction. But Yahweh is not only a just God. Yahweh is not a distant police officer upholding the law. This is the God who wants to walk with all of us. This is the God who loves us so much that he became one of us, Jesus Christ. He walked and interacted with the faithless, the sinner, the mockers, but also always walking in step with God. Jesus spent years meditating on the Torah and letting that shape his life and teaching before reaching out to others and bringing good news of God's mercy. Lent leads us to the cross. Remember how Jesus ended up alone, friends fleeing, crowds spitting, mocking him, thinking that they were watching a spectacular accident, a failed life as he was crucified. But Jesus was dying for the faithless, the sinner, the mocker. And God was with him. Death could not destroy him. Trust me, says Jesus. God loves and God's ways are good, and what is good cannot be destroyed. So choose to believe. Choose to meditate and delight in God. You don't have to run away, but come near. I've made it possible. Walk with God and find life. This is what I would say to you, Josiah, before anything else. Keep in step with God. And to all of us, I'd say the same thing. Before we go out, busy and fast, don't run so fast that we leave God behind. Let me pray.